In the aftermath of yesterday's shooting at a gay nightclub in Orlando, communities around the nation have been offering their condolences and support. That includes from ours. The Hawaii LGBT Caucus of the Democratic Party of Hawaii called it a hate crime and staged a vigil last night at the Honolulu Hale. Implicit in the messages of solidarity is also the question of how communities will respond in practice as well as principle. Michael Goliu is the chair of the Hawaii State LGBT Caucus, and he joins us by phone now. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for making time for us today. I know it's been a busy time for you. In the statement that you issued yesterday, you called this a hate crime. Why not an act of terror?
Well, hate crimes are act of terror. Just saying it's an act of terror gives a pass on the fact that they targeted the LGBT community. The shooter went out and sought out an LGBT nightclub to do it. He could have picked any nightclub, but he went out and made sure he targeted an LGBT group. So it is a hate crime, plain and simple.
Sometimes, though, we look at hate crimes as being very different from what we now regard as being acts of terror. You make the link that they are essentially in your mind the same, but without talking about this in the political sense. As you've heard the conversations and some of the response, and granted it's all very new, how are you assessing the response that you're seeing from the president?
I really appreciate the support we're seeing from the president, as well as almost all the Democratic leaders across this. They're the only ones mentioning the LGBT community. On the other side of the aisle, they barely even mention it or don't mention it at all. And that is part of the problem.
How can they not mention it when it's so directly linked?
I don't know. They say victims. They never mention LGBT. They skirt around the issues. And that's part of the thing. They try to make us invisible. And when we get targeted like this, specifically for being who we are, who we love, and that it speaks to volumes about who they are, it speaks to their character more than anything, and they're wanting to whitewash this incident and use it for their own political gains, as it were.
But also, you're talking about targeted because of a radical belief that is not necessarily, you know, at all driven by American lifestyle, but what's been happening with ISIS. How do you put all of that together in the way you're responding to both our community and certainly the community in Orlando?
It is part of our culture, unfortunately, because I do lay this attack at the feet of politicians and pastors all across this nation that have come out and demonized my community. They make us talking points, and they try to use us to garner votes within the conservative community. And so when they get out there and they fight against our rights, they help feed into this fear and hatred towards my community. So unfortunately, we like to think this isn't part of who we are, but unfortunately it is. Otherwise, we wouldn't have Trump rising to power in his one of the bases of his campaign is to say that he will take away marriage rights from the LGBT community. And so unfortunately, we like to try to think that we're better than this, but unfortunately there are those in our society that aren't. And we've seen Christian pastors gleefully talking about the incident. There was the other pastor earlier this year that called for the death of all gays. And you had Huckabee and Cruz at his rally, and they embrace it. And so they all need to take ownership of part of this. You can't just lay this at the feet of the Muslim community, because there are going to be those that are going to want to try to use this as a wedge issue and try to pit the Muslim community against the LGBT community. And that cannot happen. It's one minority versus another for the betterment of the GOP and the NRA. And that's something that I will not stand by quietly.
Michael, what about laying it also at the feet of the FBI, since Omar Mateen was also someone that they had on their watch list? I mean, granted, you know, from 2013 in the last 3 years that he was dropped from that list, but certainly he had been fingered first.
Well, there is some blame to be left with the FBI, but also I lay the blame at Congress's feet. They've killed bill time after time that would have allowed, that would have banned people to be on a no-fly list from buying guns in this country. And so the Congress and the NRA, working in concert with each other, have made it way too easy to get guns, and have that it would require a change in the law to be able to ban somebody who's on a terror watch list from going buying those guns. He bought them legally. That is what's the most disgusting part of this all, is that he went in and bought them 3 days, 3 days before the attack, and he bought them all legally. And there's no reason for an assault rifle to be in the arms, in the hands of your average citizen. And that is also part of the problem with us, that we have this gun culture now in America that says that, yes, everybody should have their gun, no matter how many you want, no matter what, that the Second Amendment is sacrosanct. But I believe someone's right to life trumps the Second Amendment.
As we're now looking at the situation with, as the president called him, a homegrown extremist, are you at all concerned that extremism could reach our shores in this way, that there could be someone who could simply go off and do this here?
I do. That does worry me. But at the same time, we have some of the strictest gun laws in the country that hopefully will keep these guns out of their hands. We have background checks. We have mandatory waiting periods. We have the registry with HPD. So we do have safeguards in that respect. And it's a lot harder to get a gun here in Hawaii than it is back on the mainland.
What about the reach of, as you talked a little earlier about people who would want to make you invisible despite what Hawaii has been able to accomplish? Are you at all concerned that there would be some backsliding and someone might not necessarily have to get a gun legally?
True. There's always, I've looked at the face of terror and horror during the fight for same-sex marriage at the Capitol, when we had Wayne Cordero and his cronies out there screaming, "Let the people vote." I got spit on and yelled at and told I was going to die in rotten hell. So, yes, I do understand that sentiment is here in Hawaii, but I'm more hopefully optimistic that love will prevail and cooler minds. But the conservatives need to cut down on their rhetoric. They need to stop demonizing my community. They need to realize that when they do this, they feed into the attack we saw in Orlando. And
well, you're also talking, excuse me, because we got to go in just a minute, but
sure.
You were also talking in your statement that this was not just about the LGBTQ community, but you're also talking about immigrants and women and the poor and other minorities. And you said we are not equal until we are all equal.
Yeah,
so what happens from this point forward? How do you use this as a springboard, if you are intending to do that, to reach the goal that you stated?
Trying to galvanize people behind the issue that if we're going to be a true equality movement, we can't leave anybody behind. And we've been working on that when the LGBT caucus, we helped make sure that they inserted language into our platform to address the need for citizenship for our dreamers. So we are doing our best at the caucus level to help bridge these gaps between the different communities, to use what little political clout we may have, but to help to make sure that other people are not forgotten in this struggle. Because if you're allowed to marginalize one community, minority community, they're going to be able to marginalize all of us. So if we stand in solidarity together to move everybody forward, that is my hope and my goal from this, is that we come out of this stronger, with a stronger resolve, and that people speak out now more than ever when they hear a politician or they hear a pastor demonize any minority group and not allow it just to go by saying, oh, that's their religious beliefs.
Okay. I wish we had more time to talk, but we need to say goodbye for the moment. Thanks very much for coming to be with us today.
Oh, well, thank you. You have a great day.
Michael Goliu is the chair of the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Caucus.